Well, I'm Tina Owens. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of talking with Bethany Yarrow, daughter of folk singer Peter Yarrow and Rufus Cappadocia. The duo of Bethany and Rufus will perform at Court Square Theater in Harrisonburg next Saturday at 8 o'clock. The show is a benefit for WMRA. You can find details at WMRA.org. We talked about the different influences and elements that can be found in their music.
When Bethany and I first started working together, she had inherited a lot of folk music from her dad, and it's such beautiful music. There's such a timeless quality to folk music, and my musical experience before working with Bethany, and during the period, was a lot of different. It gets called world music, but it's really just folk music, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we call it folk music, world music, when it's not from this country.
Yeah, right.
but there's a commonality to folklore all over the world, and my experience has been that you often find people in other countries and other cultures who are sort of your counterpart. You're more likely to find them in another country than you are in your own in some ways. So I've collaborated a lot with different African and Caribbean and Middle Eastern musicians. So that's always informed my music. And, so I brought a lot of those sensibilities to our versions of some traditional American songs. And, it's also important to remember that stuff that we think of as being folk music from here. Oh, I'll tell you a little story. So I met an artist at a festival, and he was from Ghana, from West Africa. And I said to him, can you please explain to me why country music is so popular in Ghana? Because I was surprised to learn this. And he said to me, you don't know why? And I said, no, honestly, I really don't know why country music is so popular in Ghana, I would think. And he said, well, it's because, we hear the African influence in it, and we just think it's so beautiful. So a lot of what we think of is really traditional folk music or Americana really has roots in, indigenous culture, in African culture, in music of the British Isles, and, there's such a broad influence. So I think in a lot of ways, we're kind of connecting or reconnecting with some of the roots of the popular music here and just bringing that sensibility into our own music.
Well, I think you make a good point then about the roots of the music that we're listening to and maybe not even being aware of where that actually came from, that sort of thing, but also the whole global aspect now of music. Well, so much of the music that you all do, at least that I have heard, are traditional songs, but you all certainly do them in a contemporary style. The duo is very innovative. It's just voice and cello. But then to do the traditional songs, how did you all kind of figure out where to take those traditional songs into a more contemporary realm?
Oh, that's a really good question. Bethany, do you want to jump in on that one a little bit?
Rufus and I have been playing together since 1999 at this point. It's been, a couple decades now. And so when we first started playing, I was doing a singer-songwriter kind of pop rock band, and I asked him to be my bass player in the band. And then we got some gigs at schools teaching kids songwriting and music, and I didn't really feel comfortable playing these kind of, soft pop love song stuff in the schools. And so I actually went back to the music that I grew up with, that my dad used to come and sing in my schools when I was a little girl, and kind of taught me the history of all of the different movements of America through music. And so we would sing songs like, you know, The Rock Out of Mine and East Virginia and I Don't Want Your Millions, Mister, and, you know, talk about some of that same history in the schools. And the kids really loved the song so much. And Rufus had been playing a lot for dance classes and dance groups and on stage with a dance ensemble called Urban Tap. And so a lot of his music was influenced by dance, and a lot of what I did in my life actually was dance. I was not a trained dancer, but I spent so much time in the New York City clubs, you know, until 4 or 5 in the morning, just dancing and dancing with all of the great kind of club street dancers in the hip hop era of New York. And so I love the element of dance and groove in music. It's one of the things that kind of I was missing from the 1960s folk revival, that there wasn't really a dance sensibility. So we would take these dance grooves and then put these chugging folk songs over them, and they were really fun dance songs with all of the history of the United States and of the movements and inside of them. So that kind of set us on our path and our direction. And in just the years of playing together, we ended up focusing a lot on dance music, but also spirituals and spiritual and ceremonial music from different traditions. And that kind of took us through, different folkloric traditions and the spirituals of the United States, but then also into the spiritual songs of singing with another dear friend and musician, Bonga Jean-Baptiste, who's on our last album, into the music of Haiti, and then also of Brazil, singing for all of the spirits of the water and the air and the earth and the fire and the wind and the lightning. They're called the Orishas, and it's a Yoruba tradition from Africa that landed in Brazil and the Caribbean. So a lot of the songs that we do now are actually these Brazilian songs for all the nature spirits, and specifically for also for the water and the queen of the water in this time of standing up for the water and water protection and understanding the ramifications of our actions and climate change and our disconnection from the natural world and our forgetting of the living spirits that are in the earth that we inhabit. So it's a way to really reconnect and to bring that activation and that excitement to other people. And it's been a really, really exciting journey in that regard.
We'll get back to my conversation with Bethany and Rufus in just a moment. But first, a song from the duo on WMRA's Acoustic Cafe.
Nobody's fault but mine. It's nobody's fault, yes, it's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault but mine. And I've got a song I can sing. I've got a song I can sing. But if I fail to sing it, and my soul it gets lost, it's nobody. soul it gets lost. It's nobody's but mine. But mine. Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault, yes, it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody, I got my God. Got my prayer, I've got my God. I've got my prayer.
Music from Bethany and Rufus. They'll be performing at Court Square Theater in Harrisonburg next Saturday at 8 o'clock as a benefit for WMRA. Details are at our website, WMRA.org. Bethany's father is Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, so, well, I had to ask what it was like growing up as the daughter of the folk music icon.
I'm still growing up beating Peter Yarrow's daughter. So it's definitely a current question as well as a question of childhood. In this time that we're in right now in the United States, it's such a difficult moment for many people. And it keeps coming around, you know, to this, how do we come together and what brings people together? And the answer for my dad always growing up was music. Music is the way to kind of cut through people's armor and camouflage and defenses and all of that and bring, doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, everyone loves leaving on a jet plane, you know? I remember a story he told once where he went to go present to the Republican caucus. And, you know, which are his traditional, like, enemies. They don't love Peter Yarrow, you know, and everything mm-hmm. he stands for. He's like the poster child of the, you know, New York City liberal thinker and activist. And he started singing Leaving on a Jet Plane, and everyone went from their arms folded to their arms by their side to swaying back and forth to singing together. And so there are times where we can come around. And you know, as much as what we're going through right now is a political crisis and a crisis of greed and culture and violence, it's also at root a spiritual crisis, I think. And the emptiness and the advertising and the false life choices that we're being presented with, and also some of these false solutions. And so this music is vital right now, more so than ever, I think. And this kind of very deep connection with an audience, with these spiritual songs, no matter what the language is. So that's still something that we really share, my father and I, and with Rufus, because we all still play together as well. And we'll definitely sing some of the, you know, old freedom songs and freedom melodies. And, you know, really as a reminder, music can also be a reminder of who you are, of who we are, of a reminder to our spirit. You know, sometimes our mind doesn't listen, but our spirit will. And when I'm singing sometimes and I'm looking at a crowd of people, sometimes I'm not singing to them, you know, in their room. I can actually see their spirit inside of them waking up, you know, coming back alive. You know, my dad says when people sing together, it's like this third thing happens. It's not the audience and the performer anymore. There's literally like the Holy Spirit comes down and just hovers over the people and really awakens something in people. And I think that's what people are hungry for right now, is this thing that's greater than all of us, calling us back to a more real reality, that so much of us are going through this illusion of right now of what we're supposed to be thinking and feeling and doing, and that music, and one of the reasons we sing these folk songs and these spirituals and traditional songs is because it is like this reminder that's inside of our DNA that's being reactivated, and mine too as I sing it. You know, I have this experience also singing it. So growing up with my dad was, you know, an extraordinary adventure in deep empowerment, really, that everybody can make a difference, that the answers are right in front of us, and that if we do love each other in a different way, if we find these ways of common ground, of unity, of reaching across any aisle, we really can work together to do the impossible. So, you know, he's an incredible figure right now with still so much to teach. There's no one who does what he does and what Peter, Paul, and Mary did for a generation. But that task has now fallen on all of us. So we kind of pick up all of those pieces of goodness and weave them back together into something very real and tangible and important right now. And my feeling is that that's really what's going to get us through these times. And the only thing we have to now is our communities, and build our communities with song, with prayer, with spirit, with hard work. You know, my dad calls them, we build these little pools of peace. And when we're singing together in a concert or a house concert or around a campfire or in our school or wherever we are, we're building these pools of peace. And that's really where we need to start and go back to our own communities and build them and nurture them and expand them. Because that's like our little boats, you know, that will carry us through these very difficult waters that we're sailing right now.
I'm walking down this track, I've got tears in my eyes. I'm trying to read a letter from my home. Well, if this train runs me right, I'll be home tomorrow night, 'cause I'm 900 miles from my home. Well, this train that I ride on is 100 coaches long. I can hear a whistle blow a million miles. But if this train runs me right, I'll see my man tomorrow night, 'cause I'm 900 miles from my home. Lord, I hate to hear that whistle blow, that long, lonesome train whistling down. Train runs me right, I'll be home tomorrow night, and I'm 900 miles from my home. Lord, I hate to hear that whistle blow, that long, lonesome train whistling down. I am my eyes. I'm trying to read a letter from my home. And if this train runs me right, I'll be home tomorrow night. 'Cause I'm 900 miles from my home. And if this train runs me right, I'll be home tomorrow night. 'Cause I'm 900 miles from my home.
Miles from Bethany and Rufus. The duo will be performing at Court Square Theater in Harrisonburg next Saturday at 8 p.m. as a benefit for WMRA. Details are at our website, WMRA.org. I asked Rufus about his innovative style of playing the cello and how the pair collaborate on the songs that they perform.
When I was a kid, I really wanted to be a bass player. And I was playing cello, and and I learned at the time that a lot of famous bass players, at least three or four bassists, jazz bassists, who had started on cello and then switched to bass because they couldn't really work on the cello. And being a bit of a mad scientist, I decided to just turn my cello into a bass. So I added a fifth string to my cello. And I added electric, like magnetic pickups, like a guitar as well. And it really changed the sonic palette of the instrument. And it allowed me to play bass and have a whole range of, like, I guess if you would think about the acoustic guitar to the electric guitar, that kind of change of sound, but it's still an acoustic instrument. Mm-hmm. And I started playing in the street, actually, and I ended up touring, all over Europe playing on the street. And then when I came to New York, I realized that the percussive sound and techniques that I'd developed, because I a lot of like sort of slap cello and bouncing bow and mm-hmm. really tricks to pull an audience in, to grab their attention and hold them in. That all of that technique lent itself really well to working with dance. And so I fell in with the dance community in New York and then ended up touring with this dance company for several years that was an improv dance company that just informed my cello playing in a way that most cello players don't have the luck, really, to have that exposure in that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's something really liberating about playing an instrument that doesn't really have a huge folkloric tradition to it, because you're not really bound by a preconception of what is possible. So you end up, that's the beautiful thing about cello players today doing creative work, is we all sort of know each other, and we all have really different styles, and we all have like real admiration for each other's playing. But everybody's come to a kind of different conclusion on the instrument. And because mine was based a lot in really traditional dance from Africa, as well as I've worked a lot with Middle Eastern musicians, our music and our, kind of renditions of these songs and a heavily rhythmic component to it. And as you mentioned, it's the last thing you're expecting from a cello.
Yeah, right.
Right. So it's really it's arresting because, I have this experience sometimes where I do this really dynamic bouncing bow percussion thing with the magnetic pickups and I'll start doing it in the middle of a performance. And I'll see, half the audience looking around the room and looking in the stage because they don't actually accept what they're seeing. They don't accept that that instrument is making that sound. And oddly, I even have the same experience myself when I see a video of myself, because I only see classical cello players myself. Because, you know, if I'm in the audience, I'll look at myself and go like, that's cognitive dissonance. That doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Anyways, it's a really creative, dynamic approach. And we've been so fortunate to have found each other and just continue to grow. And so a lot of the time I'll have something will start off with just, I've got this riff that I just can't let go of. And Bethany will say, oh, wow, you know, listen, this song sits right on top of that. Or similarly, maybe she's singing a song or we hear a song and I'll say, oh, wow, I'd love to do that. So sometimes we approach it from a rhythmic motif, or sometimes we're coming at it just from the melody. But I guess the point of it is that although it's different than a lot of contemporary interpretations of Americana, it's actually coming from a really folkloric approach to music. You know, we're not coming in saying, inversions of that chord could we put on this? We're just sort of playing it and letting it grow over time and catching melodies from people that we hear live and catching melodies from Bethany's dad that, you know, and then there's artists coming through the house and so they'll end up playing with us, and it's a dynamic equation. It's not really it's not an intellectual exercise, you know, it's actually folk music.
Right. It's exactly that folk process of,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. Well, and it sounds like it's a truly collaborative effort between the two of you. And thank you so much for your time and your stories, Bethany and Rufus. And we look forward to seeing you on March 10th.
Oh, we so look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'd love to come down. We're excited about it.